flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I know you guys want to talk about the Lions still. For as many of our listeners who go, just get over it, get over it. People aren't.
No.
They're not over it. It's a lot to unpack. Jason in East Point, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Okay, so for me, it's going to be hard watching the Super Bowl, but I kind of like you said, Stoney, I kind of adjusted my expectations, especially after the Buffalo game. Once all the injuries happened, I didn't think we had enough to get there.
Right.
Now, as far as the game that we lost, I put the blame 98% on Jared Goff. Those turnovers were excruciating. I mean, to play well mostly all season and then get to that point and just, like, vomit up everything, that was hard to watch.
Man, it was three bad plays by him, the fumble.
Well, it was really more – to be honest with you, we only beat Minnesota because Darnold played worse than Goff, because Goff had bad turnovers in that game. And that was startling to me. And I felt like the only way the Lions could really lose to the Commanders were if Goff was to play like he played against Houston or Minnesota. And that's exactly what he did. Now I'm kind of feeling like – I kind of feel why Sean McVay got rid of Goff, because he feel like in the biggest spot,
well,
Goff may come up with.
Well, people seem to forget, and I don't have the exact play-by-play and game stats in front of me, but – yes, he did not play well in that Super Bowl loss, but neither did any of the Rams offensively.
It was a low-scoring
game against a really good Patriot defense. But the NFC Championship game, he led them on a couple of drives that were very impressive, especially in the second half.
Maybe benefited from
the worst call of all time, but still.
No, Goff had played 3 really good playoff games in a Lions uniform just a year ago.
Yes!
So I really hesitate to overreact. It was awful that day, Saturday night. But I don't feel like we should suddenly forget what happened the year before. Perspective's a good thing. And speaking of perspective, I don't dispute Jason, and I don't dispute you, the idea that expectations changed after the Buffalo game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you from where I'm sitting, after the Buffalo game, anybody who expressed concern was shouted down from the mob of Lions fans who said, shut up, we're going to find a way. The prevailing notion in the city after the Buffalo loss was, don't you dare speak ill of this football team. We're built for this. We're absolutely still a Super Bowl team. Only then after they lose do we hear from a lot of people who say, well, see, I knew they never were going to do it anyway. It just feels very convenient is what I will say.
Well, let's look. I mean, after the Buffalo game was the San Francisco game, and you know, Kirk, one of Joseph's interceptions was a really good play. The other one was Purdy threw the ball right to him. So the defense wasn't exactly great in that game. And in the aforementioned Minnesota game, the defense did enough, obviously.
I mean,
they played pretty well.
In the red zone specifically.
Yeah, and a lot of that was Darnold, though. He decided not to throw the ball to Addison, who was wide open in the right part of the end zone. I mean.
Yeah. I just mean there were fans who believed and believed and believed. And then when the season ended, they said, I never believed. And I just don't think
that feels
like a coping mechanism. No. It's okay to say you got humbled, that you were wrong. It's okay.
Yeah.
It hurts a little more, but that's part of life.
You know, you take it down with your cappuccino and in the morning and you get over it.
Let's get to, is this LL in Detroit? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, it does hurt. I think for any fan, you want to get beat. You don't want to feel like you beat yourself. And this year and last year, I felt we beat ourselves. And to be honest, I hate to say it, and people might want to stone me, but I feel like it's more Dan Campbell and the coaching staff far than Goff.
Well, there was
they should have ran the ball more.
Sure.
They had the worst defense. They had the 30th defense in the league.
Well,
there's no way we shouldn't have ran the ball more.
But
we were killing them. Gibbs was killing them.
Look at the play-by-play and figure out about six more plays where you think they should have run the ball. There's really not that many.
I thought they should have let him come off the bench and backed up Gibbs. They should have started Gibbs. They should have got off to a good start. That would have put pressure on Daniels. I just thought the whole – when they did that, I was scared. When I saw Demo starting, I was scared.
I'm in the minority. I didn't think that made a difference because the play, the one that screwed him was the second down, and I don't think Gibbs breaks through that awful blocking that they got an 8-yard loss on.
But you said it too, Stoney. They should have had a running back in the backfield on that third and one.
That's coaching.
The 12 men on the field.
Yes.
If everybody at the ref seen it, why didn't your coaching staff call it?
I agree with you. I just think there's too much focus being put on the first possession.
Only in the sense of a tone. The tone that you want to set. Gibbs had taken over the backfield, and it appeared the coaching staff didn't see that. Gibbs got better when Montgomery was out. His yards per carry went up. He got into a rhythm. And Stoney, there's no disputing it. Gibbs in limited touches was dynamic against the Commanders and would have been more dynamic with more touches, right?
Maybe, but there wasn't that much opportunity except for the first series, which I'm convinced he wouldn't have been able to do much anyway.
I just think back to it's 7-3 Detroit. They've got the ball. And even before the third and one empty set, Gibbs runs for 33 yards.
Yes.
On that drive.
Right.
My answer is run him until his legs fall off.
I don't disagree with you. And that's why.
And they didn't.
Third and one.
Which is why I understand the phone call.
Yeah. I get it. But when you look at after that, when you look at the plays like we did,
it starts to unravel.
Yeah. And there's no opportunity really for him to run. I mean, he had the one where he had the two big plays in a row and then they ended up, you know, scoring after that. You had the J-Mo reverse.
Goff's not even in the game at that point. Yeah,
right. But as far as Gibbs, I mean, the play, the interception at the end of the half, you're not going to run the ball, I don't think, with 29 seconds left unless you want to settle for a field goal, which you know you don't want to do. He had a horrible pass. I'm not dismissing the coaching. I think we're making way too much of a deal of the first series because the Lions did nothing in the first series. Washington did nothing in their first series. The Lions took the lead 7-0, 7-3, and they're on their way to 14-3, and then they go freaking empty out of a shotgun.
To me,
third and one. That's the game.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Games aren't decided by necessarily one play, but three that stood out to me. One was the third and one from empty forever. The pick six, your defense isn't good. You can't also give up points when you're on offense. No. And then to me, some will point to the JMO pick as the third play. To me, it's the 12 men on the field when you just eat it. You just accept that you're going to take a penalty on fourth and two. And that's why Dan Campbell should get some heat.
Yes.
And just because he owns it, doesn't mean we have to let him off the hook.
No. And his new defensive coordinator was frantically telling him that.
Dan.
So it's good to know that Kelvin Shepard's aware.
Good. Well, we just can't keep doing this.
No.
We can't keep doing this where they fall short. And in two of the three losses this season, the coach goes, it's my fault. Like, stop letting it be your fault.
I know.
We love you. You're a great coach. Stop letting it be your fault.
We're relitigating the game.
I know.
And then you go to the fourth and two. What Terry and Arnold thinking?
I know. Not containing.
Yeah, now, who knows? Daniels could have broke through his tackle anyway, but...
One last call on this, and then we'll stop picking the wound.
Yes. My fault. You can blame me, because I hadn't been on the air.
It's okay, Stoney. People have a lot to say.
I know.
Tony, you're next up.
Yeah, I'm a big Jared Goff fan, but the stars need to be aligned for this guy to win the big game. We've arguably had the best coordinators in the league, and every team wanted him after the season. We're stacked at every position on offense. And I just think that a guy like Mahomes gets it done on consistency. Jared Goff needs every single thing to be right to win. And I know outside of Stafford, and arguably he's better than Goff, you give Stafford the same tools, then I think we win that game. He's sharper. He's got a better arm. I just think Goff comes up short in these big games. There's too many excuses for Jared Goff. That's the bottom line.
What did you say, Lyle? What did you say?
I'm not bashing the dude. I'm just trying to.
Well, you kind of are bashing the dude. And you know what? He deserves to be bashed for the game against Washington. You're right. But, Tony, where was his phone call after last year's playoffs when he had three excellent playoff games?
It doesn't matter how many you have if you don't win the big one. Why is it that Patrick Mahomes can be behind at the 2-minute mark?
Because he's great. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Nobody's suggesting
exactly
that we have.
Right, and we don't have the greatest quarterback.
Either does most teams.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying, I'm a fan of him.
I can tell.
He's the best we've seen. But
the Jared Goff fan club.
With friends like you, who needs enemies?
Jeez.
That dude's got a lot of tools to work with. That's a two-headed monster in the backfield.
Yes.
You got positions stacked all over that field.
Yeah, they have a bunch of all pros and pro bowlers.
I understand
that. Yes, we all know this.
But to throw the Mahomes name out there is like ludicrous. There's nobody like Mahomes.
That's why he's Mahomes.